Let's just pray together before we open up God's Word. Lord, we come to a new year, and some of us have made long lists of resolutions and goals and desires and aspirations. Others of us have celebrated and wearily come into a new year. Others of us, it's just another day on the calendar, and some of us have celebrated new birthdays, have gotten a year older on January 1st. But Lord, we would want to, at the beginning of this year, just place the Word of God central to our teaching and to our time this morning. We thank you that we can sing your praises. Thank you that we can speak words of encouragement to one another. And we're thankful that we can open your Word this morning that will open our eyes to your truth, because that's what we desire more than anything else in this year, is a greater understanding and a greater falling in love with your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. What's your greatest desire as you begin 2011? What's your greatest desire? If I handed out little pieces of paper and had you write down, what's your greatest desire? If you're 15 and a half years old, you might say, oh, it's to get my driver's license this year. Or if you're, maybe to get married this year. Maybe to pay off a credit card. Maybe get out of debt. Maybe improve some relationships. What's your greatest desire as you begin 2011? Somewhere in a Christian's thinking and whole thought process at the beginning of every year has to be somewhere in there that you would want a greater measure of God's wisdom in your lives. I found over this last year, so many times I found myself lacking in wisdom and just saying, help, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. I'll call another man or I'll call another wise counselor and say, what do? I've never been through this before. Do we not all want a greater measure of God's wisdom and God's insight and God's thoughts on things as we look into a new year? My heart is, and I'm sure yours is too, as it says in Philippians 3, 10 and 11, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I usually stop right there, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And I think, oh, I want to know Him more. And it's hard, hard work. It's not easy. But you know what comes right after that? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. It says, and may share His sufferings. For many in our body this past year, this has been a year of suffering, long-term suffering, chronic suffering, heart-breaking suffering. And in that suffering, in that difficulty, in that hardship, we somehow or other know Him more than if we didn't go through that. And sometimes that's a hard thing to come to grips with, is those difficulties are what God is using to bring a greater measure of His wisdom into our lives, that we may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Here's the big idea today, the big thought that I want you to come away with today as we open up the Word, specifically in Psalm 119. Each person anchoring themselves in the Word and prayer brings stability, hope, and increased confidence in God for a new year. Each one of us anchoring ourselves in the Word and in prayer brings stability, hope, and confidence, increased confidence in God for a new year. I think to a person, we would say, we have confidence in God, we have hope in God, we trust God. But more hope, more stability, more confidence. Would we not want to come to the end of the year and go, I am more hopeful, more confident in God. I have grown more in Him at the end of 2011 than at the beginning of the year. No matter what God takes us through or takes us through individually or as a church. Read with me, if you would, Psalm 119, 97 to 105. It's on the screen there for you to look at, and you can open up your Bible because we'll be looking at it a number of different times and in a number of different ways. Beginning in verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. Psalm 119 just drifts with saying the same thing in a number of different ways that just reinforces in our minds that the psalmist is just speaking from his heart, and he says, I love your word. I love your word. And I love God's word, and you do too, but do we treasure it, and do our lives day by day demonstrate the value and the treasure that it is? We begin in looking at this passage in Psalm 119 with, first of all, a statement from the heart. A statement from the heart. The psalmist begins, oh, how I love your law. That's right from his heart. Can't you just see as he's penning that? That's from deep down in his heart. Oh, how I love your law. He loves and he delights in the Word of God. And when I read that, I go, do I? Do you? As much as we should? I love your law. He's a lover of God's truth. Not just any truth. Not just whatever truth seems convenient at the time. But he says, I love your law. That's important. That's important. We don't get to pick and choose truth. I was talking with someone this week, one of my accountability partners this week, and he said he was having a conversation in a secular workplace about truth. And he's trying to explain, and it's probably something from the Truth Project, from those of you that have seen it, I don't know because he's gone through it, but he's trying to explain that each person is a dot. And outside of that, all of those dots, that circle outside of that is something outside of that is truth, not what each person thinks it is. And he would continue to press in and press in and press in with that there is a one objective truth outside of ourselves. And at a certain point, people just walked away from the workplace and said, that can't be right. That can't be right. And he said, but then, what gives you the right to think that your dot is the objective truth? What gives you the right to think that what you think is right is right? There's got to be something outside of you that is objective truth. The psalmist says here, I love and delight in your law. I love your law. I love truth. He loves truth. He doesn't love just knowledge, just acquiring wisdom, just facts. He loves the the truth. Note the words all the way through this psalm in this section that we have here, 97, I love your law. Different ways the word is expressed. I love your law in verse 97. Verse 98, your commandment. Verse 99, your testimonies. Verse 100 and 104, your precepts. Verse 101, 103, and 105, your word. And in verse 102, your rules. So he begins this psalm, this section of the psalm, with a statement from the heart. And he says, I love your law. So that does beg the question, do you love the Word of God? Do you treasure the Word of God? Is it guiding you? Is it direct? Has it been guiding you and directing you this last year? Will it guide you and direct you this year? What place will you give it in your day? Secondly, not just a statement from the heart, but secondly, what the word brings. He loves and delights not just in the word, but what it brings to his soul. What it does to his heart, what it does to his soul. He says in verse 98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. So the first thing that the word brings to his soul is wisdom. Oh. Like I said just a few minutes ago, I need so much more of God's wisdom in given situations. We talk on Tuesday nights, we have our little Think Like an Elder segment, and we bring a situation that we'll discuss kind of in a generic way, and we'll talk about it on different sides of an issue, and we'll go, what about this? And then somebody else will say, what about this? And what about if we did this in this situation? What about if this person did that? And you realize there's some really good answers on both sides of a topic or of a something that needs to be discussed or a counseling situation. We need God's wisdom in that situation. God, what do you want us to do? We need his wisdom. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Our enemies use the word against us, don't they? Excuse me. Our enemies take the word of God and twist it, and he says, when I'm saturated in your word, it makes me wiser than my enemies. I think the converse of that is true. When I'm not saturated in your word, I don't have a chance against my enemies. What does wisdom mean? Wisdom means that you recognize God is at work for your good. If you look back over the year, all the stuff you've gone through, can you look back using the word of God and in faith say, God is at work. God was at work. God is at work for my good. That's what Paul said in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. But it didn't seem like, but it was. But I don't understand. His word gives understanding. His word helps to make an upside-down situation get right side up when we look at it, because his commandments make me wise. We have to acknowledge that God is good in all that he does. He's good in all that he does, and his ways are right, even though we may not understand them at that specific time. Wisdom also makes you realize that God's changing you. When you get saturated with the Word of God, you realize that God is actually changing you. You look back and you go, I am different January 2nd, 2011 than I was January 1st or 2nd, 2010. God is at work changing you. In spite of situations and circumstances, or in situations and circumstances, you're looking for opportunities to grow in grace, because you're looking to see how God is going to change you. There's not a person listening to me this morning, including myself, that doesn't want to say, God, change me. Change me. Make me, mature me in this area. Grow me up in this area. Shut me up in this area. Make me wiser in this area. Help me to handle things differently in this arena or in this area. And we begin to anticipate the change that's going to happen as God is working in the circumstances and he's changing us. The thing is, we don't like change. I don't like change. I thought I did. I thought I was a really flexible person. You probably see yourself as very flexible. Yeah, bring it on. No big deal. I can change. We really don't like change. We sometimes resist it. But change stretches us. It stretches you and I. Because God's at work. Change forces us to depend less on us and more on Him. These are obvious, obvious things. They're just hard to apply when you're in the middle of change. When God is doing some changing in circumstances that are around us, we have to depend less on ourselves and what we're familiar with and more on God. And we have an opportunity to trust Him more. Wisdom also means that we can find God in every single circumstance that we're in. When we saturate ourselves with the Word of God, we begin to find Him in the circumstances. We were on our way. Two times. I made it to a family birthday party for a little while. And we were going to Vancouver to visit some friends that we've known all the way back from college, and they've been trying since strawberry season for us to come over to their house. So that's June, to try to align our calendars so that we could get together. And we finally said, they said, "Could you come over New Year's Eve?" And we went, "Oh, I'm in my jammies. I don't even feel like getting up." But okay, well, how about we come over for lunch? And we say Happy New Year at 2:30 in the afternoon. How about we do that? So they said, that'd be fine. And they've had a really rough year. Loss of job, moving from a house into an apartment, the same time losing job, marrying off a son, you know, all these things at the same time, aging, the whole thing. A death of one of their parents, just a whole thing. Got together. We're on our way over 205. We're talking to them, trying to confirm directions again. And just after we hung up the phone, here comes this pickup by me, towing this trailer. And Lou goes, "Is that Sparks underneath that trailer?" I said, "Yeah." So I start to watch, and pretty soon the trailer comes disconnected, totally disconnected from the pickup on the Glen Jackson Bridge going over. You know, you don't have a lot of wiggle room on the Glen Jackson Bridge if you know it. God just took that trailer that came totally disconnected, didn't have the drag chain or anything on it, totally disconnected, and just kind of hiked it up right on the inside, the barrier, and just stopped it. The guy was going, he was passing me, so I was going 55. He was, of course, I wasn't going over 55. He was going faster than I was, and that guy just kind of, and that little casino, you know, the gaming trailers that they have, rent a casino type thing, that little trailer just went right up and just nestled up right against the barrier and stopped, and cars just kept going. And I'm going, "Lord, I mean, that thing could have just swerved all the way across lanes of traffic and cars." I said, "God, you are in every single circumstance that we are in. Sometimes it's real obvious and visible like that. Other times, we don't even know what we avoided." I'm sure the people 30 seconds behind had no idea what just about happened, what could have happened. But right there at the time we watched that, and we just both looked at each other and went, "Lord, you are so kind for that little casino trailer to end up right there and for that thing not to end up flipped over or getting into somebody else." Wisdom means that God is at work in every single situation. And when we saturate ourselves with the Word of God, we begin to see Him working and operating in our lives. And it carries into every area of our lives, even a trip over the Glen Jackson Bridge. And then we begin to look for evidence of God at work. This is where I want to land at the end of our talking today, is we want to look for evidence of God's grace in each other's lives this year. We want to be intentional about that. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." God is working. Let's see and observe and remind each other and encourage each other in what God is doing in our lives this coming year. When we see evidence of God's grace in each other's lives, let's make it a point of encouraging each other with that. Also, not just wisdom, but insight. I have more understanding, verse 99, or insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. What's insight? Insight means that we begin to see life and difficulties from God's viewpoint. Insight means you begin to see things from God's viewpoint. When I spend time with the Word of God, I gain insight. I begin to realize God is moving. He's active in every situation. Insight helps you to move from why God to a place of trust and confidence. Don't get stuck. It's okay to ask why God. But if you get stuck at why God, I want to encourage you to saturate yourself with the Word, because the Word sheds light on that situation and helps us to move from why God to seeing God actively working and beginning to see things more from His perspective. It's not wrong to ask why God. I think it's wrong to stay stuck at why God. Also, seeing things through life from His perspective. Some of what we deal with is there's the seen and there's the unseen. There's a supernatural aspect of things that are going on. When we saturate ourselves with the Word of God, we begin to see there's things happening in the seen, there's things happening in the unseen. And we begin to pray more broadly, asking God to do what He's going to do in the physical, but also what He's going to do in the spiritual. And in the Word of God helps us to do that. Gaining insight is hard work. Gaining insight or wisdom, understanding, is hard work because it's heart work. It's heart work. Insight from God's Word allows the Word to wash over your and my hearts. When that happens, my perspective often changes. Maybe I get a little softer, more malleable, more tender to what God is doing, allowing the Word of God to do that. But it's hard work, and it's hard work. I become more focused and less fleshy when I allow the Word of God to wash over me. Not just insight, but in verse 100 it says understanding. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. We give great wisdom. We pay great respect to older people because they have wisdom. We value their wisdom. You grandmas and grandpas and older people or older saints, we value them because of their wisdom. But the psalmist says here, I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. That doesn't mean you dishonor those that are aged. It just means that the Word of God is so much more than even the wisdom of the aged. The Word of God is our anchor. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. That understanding helps us to respond in a right way. We respond in a right way. Insight helps us to see in the right way. Understanding helps us to respond in the right way. So when you and I spend time with the Word of God, we begin to understand. We begin to know how to act and react when things don't turn out the way I think they should. That's probably one of the hardest things for me, when I have expectations. Little things like, we're leaving at 9:25. And 9:25 rolls around and I'm not ready. No, of course I'm ready. No, 9:25 rolls around. Little things like that. What happens at that time when your expectation doesn't match what's actually happening? That's where your heart is revealed. Understanding and insight helps me to react in more appropriate ways. It helps me to watch what I say and how I say it so I don't create offense. But one of the greatest things I've learned this last year through very hard, difficult things and situations is I have to be more careful in what I say and how I say it. my family, to friends, to you. I have to be more careful what I say and how I say it so I don't create offense. You ever notice how it's so easy for relationships to get botched up with offenses because words are misunderstood? Sometimes silence is misunderstood. Some of you know that. When a spouse goes quiet, what are you thinking? Are you mad at me? What did I do wrong? I got a cold. I don't feel like talking. Oh, well, it just seems like you're upset. No, I'm not upset. I just don't feel good. I've got like 12 words today. Let's not use them all up at the same time. Something like that. Wisdom and insight and understanding from the words helps us to watch what we say and how we say it so we don't create offense. It also helps us to be quicker to apologize and slower to anger. Quicker to apologize and slower to anger. And quicker to support and slower to judge or jump to conclusions. I want the Word of God to do that in my life this year. I want it to wash over me, and I want it to wash over each one of you so that you are quicker to support and slower to pass judgment. When the word from the open mic about that, the water coming down, so it was frozen, right? But the same idea, the water coming down and washing over us. I got the idea as that was being shared. We are not cul-de-sacs for God's word. We're conduits. We're conduits. It's supposed to wash over us, and it's supposed to go out to all of our relationships. We're not supposed to just be collectors of it. You know, big knowledge collectors, big cul-de-sacs of information. We're supposed to be conduits. So when it comes, we just, as the Lord allows, the word just washes over us, and it just goes out and we share it. In the setting of the psalm, he says, neither my enemies, nor my teachers, nor the aged attend carefully to God's word. But the psalmist says, but I want to. Those people aren't attending to God's word, but I want to attend to God's word. Let's encourage each other to attend carefully to God's word in 2011. This is a good time to remind ourselves of a Bible reading plan for 2011. I'll send out, there's a great email link I'll send to you guys this afternoon. I will send it out before, but I thought some of you would look at your email ahead of time and before you came to church this morning. Good Bible reading plan. First thing happens on Bible reading plans. Excuse me. Some of them are really difficult. I found one. 10 chapters a day. A guy said, this is very, very helpful. I look at 10 chapters a day and I go, this is very, very impossible. This is very, very... Here's one, the Bible reading plan for shirkers and slackers. I love that. I almost started that one yesterday. The Bible reading plan for shirkers and slackers. And a pastor actually recommends that one. Donald Whitney has one, a Bible reading record, where you just keep a record and you just keep marking it off as you're reading it, and when you get done, you get done. There's no, you need to be at this point, at this point, at this point. Can I just say, you don't need my permission, but I give you permission to move your Bible markers if you get behind. Just move it to the day it's on if you're doing it. Just move it. And continue on. Don't get deflated with it, you know. When you get bogged down in Leviticus or something like that, just move it. There's a Bible reading plan here. Check this out. I really like this one. You'll get this on your email so you can look at it. This plan, you read a whole chapter, one New Testament chapter and two Old Testament chapters. They also have a couple of features designed to help those of us who have trouble persevering through a schedule like this. There are lots of reflection catch-up days, praise God. So you got catch-up days where nothing is assigned, that's where you catch up. And they have pulled from the daily reading plan some of the slower-paced, harder-to-understand books. Then they have monthly scripture snapshots that you can read to help you get an overview of an entire book. And then as time allows, you can go back and read those if you'd like to. But It's a helpful thing. They're serious. They're trying to help their church get through a reading of the entire Bible in a whole year. So find some type of Bible reading plan, a chronological reading. I'll send this link out on an email, and you can look at it in this afternoon and pick one if you already haven't done it, and just encourage yourself and each other in your Bible reading plan. The second thing I would say, in addition to a Bible reading plan, be in accountable relationships. Be in accountable relationships. You know if you are or you are not in accountable relationships. If you're married, your number one accountability relationship is husband to wife, wife to husband. That's your number one accountability relationship. If you're a child living at home, your number one accountability relationship is parent to child and child to parent. But there's also woman-to-woman accountability relationships, man-to-man accountability relationships, and peer-to-peer accountability relationships, young person to young person, or married couple to married couple, different things like that. Be in accountability relationships. Bring the Word of God into those accountability relationships when you're in accountability relationships. And don't pick someone who necessarily struggles with the same thing that you do. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not. But and then encourage each other by asking the difficult questions. How are you doing? And then go beyond that, and go beyond that, and go beyond. I'm so grateful for the accountability relationships that I have with some of the men in our church and others outside of our church. But what do accountability relationships require? I think the number one thing an accountability relationship requires is humility. Humility. You have to be willing to say, I don't have it all together this week. I read stories and blogs and accounts of pastors that don't have anybody to share things with, and nobody that they're accountable to. And I think that's a really dangerous place for anybody, especially pastors. Really dangerous thing. But they have all kinds of reasons, you know, why they can't share what's really on their heart with, you know, their wife or with their... And they get in some very dangerous, nasty situations when they do that. But accountability relationships require humility, because those that were... When we're holding each other accountable, we are saying, I want you to see things in my life that I don't see. Would you point them out to me? They're blind spots. I don't see them. I obviously don't see them. Because if I did, and I was walking with the Lord, I'd want to change those things. And so accountability relationships are important. So as we attend to God's Word in 2011, a solid commitment to reading God's Word and to being in accountable relationships, because when we do that, we're wiser, we gain greater insight, and we get more understanding, as it says in verses 98 to 100. Also, the effect of God's Word on my life, the effect of God's Word on your life. Verse 97 says, I meditate on it. When we're saturated in God's Word in verse 97, I meditate on it, I ponder it. I ponder it deeply, I'm chewing on it, I'm thinking about it. I also keep it, in verse 100 and 101, I keep it, I obey it fully. And verse 101 says, and I hold back. We have a responsibility to beware of the... Each one of us have danger areas, difficult areas, areas that we struggle in, besetting sins, sins that trip us up more than others. A sharp tongue, a quick response, a wandering eye, a laziness, whatever it is. This verse says, I hold back. There's a responsibility. I hold back. I have to do it. Warning, stay back. Stay back from evil. No dabbling. So grateful for Brian being able to share with us on the 15th about what's going on out there in the whole techno area, that I can't even articulate all the stuff that's happening. A few months ago, I talked with some of the men, and I said, can't we just ban technology at church? I mean, we need an overhead so that you can... you can look at the verses and things like that. We need him for the songs because it's too hard to memorize all these songs that we sing. But beyond that, can't we just band? Can't we just say, no laptops? Once church is over, just let's fold up our laptops and keep them closed up. But then I realized, and I might use it at the end here, I got a laptop in my pocket. So you can't. So, Brian, thank you for pursuing that topic that we need to discuss. And good Lord willing, we'll present that. Brian will present that to the men and the young men of the church. And then I know he's been asked by a few of you to have that same topic shared with the ladies also. And so we'll see if we can do that shortly thereafter. And that can be presented again. I think it's an important, important topic. I hold back, it says in verse 101. We think we're in a homeschool bubble here. And I know all of us don't homeschool. That's not what I'm saying. We think we're in a homeschool bubble. And we're not. And parents need to be wise to that. And young people, you need to know that your parents are becoming wise to that. And are going to be wise and are going to be studied and are going to take notes when Brian shares that with us. Because it's important for the sake of your souls that we care for you that way. And that we become informed and knowledgeable. So I'm looking forward to that very much. Verse 102 says, I do not turn aside from your word. I do not turn aside. I maintain a course. God's words are sweet and they give direction. They keep me from false ways. Like honey toast. A little honey on toast. A little honey on Dave's Killer Bread. Isn't that good? A little honey on there. That's what the word of God should be like. It'd be like nice, fresh cream butter and honey on top of it. Oh, that's what it should be like. God's words are sweet and they give us direction. They keep us from false ways. And then fourthly, the result. The word becomes a light and a lamp to us. The word becomes, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It gives guidance and direction and sight. You have that little picture of the lamp up there. This is a horrible picture. I am so sorry. I couldn't find one any better. I knew it was going to be horrible because it was horrible on my computer screen. But you get the idea of a little piece. Stephen, I should have had you make one of these for, I'm looking at him laughing at my lamp up there. That the picture is a piece of clay that is molded and that it's pinched off on an end with a wick that sticks up on the end down into the oil. And you would light the lamp on the end. There we go. Much better. Thank you. Man, you are good, brother. Much better. Wow. How did you do that? That's good. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I am impressed. You get to go first in line at shared meal today. It gives guidance. It gives direction. It gives sight. Can you see that little lamp? Not much. It doesn't. It's not like those new bulbs they advertise for cars that shoot way out there to protect your daughters when they're out there driving. I saw that commercial. It's right in front of you. I need guidance right in front of me for what is next. God, would you just give me that in 2011? Would you just give me what's next? It brings light and a lamp. That's the result of God's word. Proverbs 3, 5, and 8 helps us in our understanding and application for today when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. What that means is we subordinate our will to God's will. God, this is what I want, but what do you want? I want what you want more than what I want. Would you help me to know what you want? Because the major thesis in the book of Proverbs is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where knowledge begins. And the why questions never get answered apart from God's word. Have you ever noticed that? The why questions never get answered apart from God's word. Always God's word has to come into play to help us fully understand the why questions. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. trusting and fearing the Lord go hand in hand with all your heart. We trust the Lord and we fear Him with all our heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Further explains about how that trusting happens. My tendency is to lean on my own understanding. This verse says, no. I'm going to use the Word of God to lean on Him instead of on me. Because my understanding is flawed. My tendency is to set my own finite and often mistaken way and set it up against His. And He makes a straight path. That's moral straightness. A straight path is pursuing a moral or a holy or a straight way. And it's a straight path means you're progressing toward a goal. So here's the application for today in the couple minutes that we have left here. For 2011, first of all, let's look for evidence of God's grace. Look for evidence of grace in each other's lives in this coming year. If we are deliberate in looking for evidence of grace in each other's lives this coming year, we will become less focused on the petty, nitpicky, non-important, carnal, fleshy stuff that really is of no eternal importance. Look for evidence of grace in each of those lives. We begin that. You say, what are evidences of grace? I want to look for the fruit of the Spirit in your life. I want you to look for the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I want you to see, and I want to see in you, and look for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's look for that in each other's lives and commend each other for that and say, I'm seeing self-control being worked out in your life in a way that I've never seen it before. Hardest place for it to be seen and spoken is probably in the home. To humble yourself and say to your spouse or to your kids, I am seeing more kindness, more gentleness coming out of you. That's God working in your life. We're prone to pick out the bad things, the shortfall, the things that were coming up short. Look for evidences of grace in each other's lives. A second place that you look for evidence of grace in people's lives is as you see the gifts of the Spirit being manifest among us. When you see the gifts of the Spirit, you say, wow, that administrative thing that you did, that blessed our church, that gift of teaching that you brought, that prophetic word that you had, that mercy that you showed, that kindness that you exhibited. I can see your spiritual gifts flourishing in your life. Let's look for that this coming year. I think if we do that, if we look for evidences of grace by looking for the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, that I think we will mature and grow because it will be word-focused instead of us-focused. We're no big deal. We're just a little church that meets in a gym. But God's a big deal. God is a big deal. And being saturated in His Word and looking for that evidences of grace in each other's lives will do many, many things. It will launch out new churches. It will mature us as a body. It will help us to care for each other. So let's commit to pray for each other more this year. I know I want to do that, pray for you by name individually. Thank you for the birthday lists that are coming out that remind us when birthdays and anniversaries happen. Those are good things to do, just reminders to pray for each other. If you're not on that list and you'd like to be, and this is your regular church, Stephanie, raise your hand. There she is right there. Baby bottle Stephanie is also birthday and anniversary Stephanie, and she would be happy to add you to that list. And I was reminded today that Dawn Justice turned in the wrong day for her birthday, and it's really tomorrow, not today. It's not a typo on your part. I'm sure it was Dawn's fault. But her birthday's tomorrow, right, Dawn? Kyle, right? Her birthday's tomorrow. Thank you. It's good. A husband knew that. That's wonderful. That's very good. So let's commit to pray for each other. Use things like the directory. We'll have a new directory with our new website and a birthday list, and commit to pray for each other. When you are, ever notice how people, the Lord brings... Do we send you guys a note? December 24th, at the same December 24th, our daughter and I both had the thought to pray for you guys back in Kansas on December 24th. And I don't know, we compared notes of the day and said, wow, we both prayed for the Fergusons on the 24th. Why was that happening? Those are not just random things. That's the Holy Spirit saying, pray. So we pray. And let's continue to care for each other in the many practical ways. We're a larger congregation. There are needs that need to be met in this church. Everybody can do a little bit to help with the needs. Thank you for those that are setting up and cleaning up and putting away and all the things like that, the meals that are being prepared. We have a lot of young families with new babies. We have a lot of things going on. But let's continue to care for each other in the practical daily needs that arise in our church. And as we do that, and as we look for evidence of grace, and as we care for each other, and as we pray for each other, this will be a wonderful, wonderful 2011. Not problem-free. Oh, we'll have all kinds of stuff that will come up. But our hearts will be tuned. Our hearts will be tuned to the Word, and we'll be saturating ourselves with the Word so that we bring the Word of God into every one of those situations. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, it is so good to be reminded of your goodness toward us. We thank you that you are faithful. Our faith sometimes flags. Our faith sometimes would even waver. But our confidence and our boast is in you today. We thank you for the psalmist who pens these words that says, your words are sweeter than honey. We would like that to be for us this coming year. Lord, I pray that you would help us to eliminate the mental clutter that would prohibit us from wanting to just sit down and to treasure our time with you in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.